Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Some came to this land on the Mayflower. Some came to discover their lives. Some came to save them. But no matter how they arrived, one thing is certain. The same invitation they received echoes in our hearts today. They invite us into a life that's worth living, no matter what our past. They encourage us to walk the path God's given us, no matter what turns confront us. It's beautiful, really, because we are the tired. We are the poor. We are the huddled masses who yearn to breathe free. And the oxygen we breathe is given to us by God through brave men and women who have died for us. We inhale freedom. We exhale gratitude. And so today, we remember. Today, we honor. Today, we pause. We pay attention. We acknowledge our indebtedness, and we rejoice in our freedom. This is a day of remembrance. This is Memorial Day. This is America.
Good morning. Before I begin with the scripture reading, I just want to say a quick word to you about the church conference next week. I know our reality, which is that many of us struggle to get to 11:07 on time. It's okay, I don't take offense. But I really encourage you to make a point to try to make it to our church conference. We did set it at 10:30 to try to honor those who worship at 11 and 11:07 and make it easy for you. But we want, as a church council and pastoral and staff, we want to hear from the whole church, which means that we need you to come. We don't just need some of the church. We need as much of the church present as possible. So I hope that you'll try your very best to show up at 10:30. It won't be long. And we'll finish our business and migrate over here, and you can get your coffee and settle in your seat, and we will have our normal worship service after. But as we look into where God is moving our church, and we want to know that we are moving in the direction that's not just the will of God, but the will of the church. And to do that, we need to hear from you all. So please, pray about that this week. Pray for the conference. Pray for what God is doing in our church and through our church and in our community. Pray for the day. But most importantly, do what you can to be present. It's also a wonderful thing when our district superintendent shows up and we can show him that we choose to participate in something that is business of the church, because it shows that we care. So do your best. If you would like a reminder, then send a text to our texting number in the worship guide and say, remind me about the church conference, and I will make sure you get a reminder on Saturday that the church conference is coming. And I say that because that is who I am. I forget things if it's not right in front of me on my calendar or I don't have those things. So I will help you remember, because I want you there, because I want to know what our church thinks. Okay? All right. That's enough of that. Would you stand with me as we read our scripture for the morning? As we stand, I'm reminded on this Memorial weekend, we always say that we stand to give the scripture honor. But this weekend, this morning, we're also standing and remembering the men and women who are giving us this ability to stand and give the scripture honor. All those who've given their lives for this honor in this public place to read the Word of God. I'm reading out of the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, this morning we thank you for those who made it possible for us to worship freely in this country. And we remember the sacrifices that they made. As we reflect on these words of Jeremiah, we ask that you speak to us through them, that you allow my words and my preparation this morning to be transformed into your message for me and all of us, and that your Spirit move through this place in a mighty way, and that we be challenged to be your people and your children deeper and be renewed this morning. We pray these things to your glory and honor. Amen. You may have a seat. So I've been unpacking with you this story of how God has transformed my life over the course of the past 6 months after my accident in November. And I was sharing with someone the other day that these have been some of the hardest sermons I've had to write, because writing about personal experience is really hard. Taking a scripture passage and exegeting it and figuring out what God was meaning by the passage and all that's really easy. Figuring out how God wants me to share my own experiences is hard. But I felt God really wanted me to do this because you guys have supported me so much through this journey, and I have grown so much through it all that I felt it was important to share. So this morning, I'm going to kind of share a little bit about who I am as a person, because some of you don't know me well. You just see me. And so it would help you kind of understand how all of this came about. You see, I'm the type of person that has a plan for everything. This is 1 week of my schedule, and it's color-coded for a reason, and I love the colors. It brings me such joy. I know how everything in my life is going to happen weeks and weeks in advance. It just, when I look at a closet that's perfectly organized and looks like it should be an organizer magazine, it just brings such a warm feeling to my heart. And I can't just have baskets. They have to be matching baskets with labels. I am a crazy organizing person. This is how I keep my life stable. This is what I love about my life. And I go different directions all the time, but I have a structure and a plan always. And when I go out of town, I know at least a month in advance who is going to take care of my daughter, where she's going to go and when, and I have it written out, like, and laminated. And then I send reminders. You remember I told you I was going to send you a reminder on Saturday? I send reminders in like the week before and the days before and the day of everybody who's taking care of my kid while I'm gone. And I'm like, and don't forget, I tell them, don't forget to text me after you've done what you're supposed to do so I know that everything's good. And my family loves to poke me. They'll go, oh, wait, I was supposed to get Abigail. I totally forgot. I'll be across the state, and they'll sit there and go, oh, I don't have her. I don't know where she is, Faith. Just to imagine me panicking. They love it. And my life got turned upside down when the accident happened. Because you know what my calendar looked like? See, I use this electronic system so people can book appointments with me without having to talk to me. So if I'm, you know, asleep, they can still get something on my calendar. You can talk to me too, but I find that some people don't want to pick up the phone today, right? So they love being able to use a computer if they don't want to talk on the phone. And so my calendar had out of the office, out of the office, out of the office, out of the office for weeks. And the only other thing on my calendar was a doctor's appointment here and a doctor's appointment there, just kind of scattered around because every doctor had to see me. But I couldn't drive. So my life for 6 weeks was a reality of I had to be places, but I couldn't get myself there. And I didn't know how I was getting there. And my daughter still had to get to and from school, but I couldn't take her, and I didn't know how she was getting there either. And my family still had to eat, but I couldn't go to the grocery store, and I didn't know who was getting groceries or who was cooking. And the reality is I had to trust my family to do everything. So the faith brain is sitting on the couch going, who's picking up Abigail today? And I'm watching a family chat going, oh yeah, Abigail's supposed to be picked up in 30 minutes. Who's going to do it? And I'm sitting there going, what? You guys have known this all day. She gets picked up every day. You haven't figured it out yet? 30 minutes, she gets picked up in 30 minutes and no one's picked her up yet and you don't know who's going to pick her up and why haven't you figured this out? And my brain is freaking out from the couch. And then I'm like, all right, Faith, don't freak out. Just be calm. You're going to drive everybody crazy. I'm sure I did drive them crazy. But I had to learn to roll with the punches, not my personality. Was that my husband in the back? So life puts us in these situations where we're just rolling along like normal, and we get to a point where we have to make a decision. We get to these crossroads where something's thrown at us, and we can't keep going as we always have. And I had to decide if I was going to be my normal self that had a plan and a control piece for everything as a survival mechanism for me because my life is insane, or if I was just going to accept that I had to trust everybody else to do it and sit back and try not to go crazy. And when we get to these points, we have no choice. When our road ends, we can either turn left or right. And for many of us, we stand here at this crossroad afraid to make a decision because what if we make the wrong one? Our life will be over if we make the wrong one. And if you think about the scripture passage that I read, Israel is in exile in Babylon. And God gives this message to Jeremiah and says, go encourage Israel and tell them that they are going to be out here in Babylon for 70 years. 70 years. But tell them not to worry. I'm still there and I'm listening and I'm going to take care of them, but they're going to be here a while. And I have a plan and I'm taking care of them, but they got to be patient. Now, it's supposed to be a message of hope. Would you have felt encouraged if God said you got to hang out for 70 years? I would not have been encouraged. But maybe they did feel encouraged because they knew there was an end in sight. God looked at them and said, just stay focused. If you stay focused on me, God is telling Israel, if you stay focused, if you pray, if you seek me, then I'm going to bring you home again. See, we have modern day exiles. We have things in our life that exile us from our families. We have things in life that exile us from the church, that cut us off. We have choices that we make that separate us from people. We have things, there's somebody sitting in this room that feels like that nobody would understand the decisions they've made in their life. Actually, it's probably every one of us in this room that feels like that we've done something that no one would understand, and that cuts us off from people. But God is saying, if you trust me, I promise I'm going to bring you home. If you trust me, I have a plan, and I am going to bring you home. The men and women that care for us in our country, they come home and they're broken. But God tells them, if you trust me, I can heal your wounds. And our families whose men and women don't come home, he tells them, if you trust me, I can help you heal from the loss of those you love. We're the ones that are standing at the crossroad having to decide, are we going to trust God where we go or do we not? See, this is what I firmly believe. I believe that God can redeem everything in this life. Truth? If we don't believe that, then why are we here? I believe that no matter what I do in my life, God can redeem it. So what that means is if I'm standing at the crossroads and I am trying my very best, I'm asking God to help me make the right decision, that it doesn't matter which way I go. Because if I make the wrong decision, God is still going to redeem it for me. Did you hear me, church? What I mean by that is I can't screw it up so bad that God can't redeem it. Now, is there a better choice than the other? Yes. Does God have a plan that he wants me to be in a better place than a harmful place? Yes. But there's not a choice that I can make that can take me so far from God that he can't redeem it. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel better. I don't have to walk with this weight on my shoulders that I am always about to mess something up that God can't fix. That would be a horrible way to walk around. I would have had the weight of the world on me so much that I would be so afraid to act. I mean, think about what Jeremiah goes on to say. He says, if you pray, I will listen. If you look for me, you will find me. Israel is off with the Babylonians in a very sinful land, and God says, if you look for me, you will find me. All we have to do is look, and God will respond. Part of this journey for me, for the person who always has a plan and likes to be organized and know what to expect, is God's had to teach me to let life go. That's a hard lesson to learn. 6 months ago, I was okay when they told me I had to wait 6 weeks. 6 months ago, I was okay when I couldn't go into a restaurant because it was too overwhelming, and they said, Faith, give it time. But then as my brain from the concussion started to get better and better, and it wasn't quite 100% better, and I asked them, well, what do I do now? How much time does it take? When am I going to be 100%? The answer was, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. So they said, let's do a test. We'll do this really big fancy test and we'll give you the answer. So I took the test, a really long test. And I sat there waiting the answers. You know what the answers gave me? Nothing. Nothing. They said, we don't know. They said it could be 18 months. Before you're 100%. I'm like, well, what do I do? Give me something to do. I'm a doer. I like a plan. I need a plan. Somebody tell me what exercises or this or that. And they go, we don't know. I'm like, thanks, God. It's been 6 months, they tell me. Faith, you should be happy that you're doing as well as you're doing. And I'm like, I'm not happy. I want a plan. I'm a planner. You see my calendar? I'm a planner. I don't have a plan. And it's like God is still telling me after all this time, Faith, you got to let it go. It's like God's just reminding me, you know, it's only been 6 months, Faith, since you ran into a wall. Just let it go. And I'm not happy with that because myself is saying, God, I don't want to trust not having a plan. And what God is telling me is, Faith, you got to take one step in front of the other and just trust where you're walking. And the person who I am struggles with that because I don't know what I'm walking to. But is that not what it means to seek God wholeheartedly? To turn down the next road and just keep going? So this is my week this week. As I anxiously waited for the results, for them to tell me the exercises to do to get my last percent of my brain. And I'll have it. And it's like God saying, you have to trust me. And I do. I just wanted a plan. And he's not giving me one. So, it's one foot in front of the other. And he has taken me so far, and he's helped me in so many things, and things that I was afraid of that I've let go of, because he has a plan. I know God has a plan, and his plan is for good. It's for me to prosper. He has a future for me. He just isn't telling me what it is yet. Israel had to wait 70 years. So what if I have to wait 18 months? That's not a scary thing. I get small celebrations all the time. Every time I do things and I don't have to suffer side effects from it, it's a celebration. Every time I get to share things with you guys, it's a celebration. Every time someone walks up and tells me that they're still praying for me, it's a celebration. And for Lloyd to look at me this morning and said, I'm so proud of my biker's pastor, it was a celebration. And it was a celebration yesterday as AJ and I took our bikes out on the road for the first time since my accident. And I pulled out of that driveway, the same place I crashed. And I drove on past. And I kept going. And God is good, and he redeems all things. And I'll tell you, friends, what was scarier than not driving out of the driveway, what was scarier for me is not being on the bike, because if I'm not on the bike, then I lose the community that I have with the bikers, because I look at them and say that I allow the crash to be bigger than my God. And I'm not okay with that, because if God can redeem all things, he redeems my crash too. And I can't let something like that stand between something he's trying to do in my life. And so to be able to be back on and ride again and to continue to tell my story to the others is far better than looking at that driveway every day and being afraid to ride out of it. I believe with all my heart that no matter what we do in our lives, he fixes it. And we don't know what the transitions are. My life is transition after transition after transition, and I'm learning that that's not a bad thing. Now, I don't know what your transitions are in your life. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where you've been. But my prayer for our church is that we will press forward with whatever God's going to do, one step at a time, not knowing where we're going always, but that he's doing great things. I hear the stories from you all of what God has been doing in your lives, and it's exciting. So this is my challenge and prayer for us as a church, is that we share with others the great things that God is doing. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as we prepare to think about what God has done in our lives with our closing song. But I want you to think about, is there someone in your life that you need to share your own story with? Is there someone in your life that you need to share what God is doing, because they need the message of hope? They need to know that God is waiting for them, that there's nothing they could have done that has pushed God so far away that they can't redeem their choices. We believe it, right, that Jesus can forgive all, but do we share that with others? That no matter what, God truly redeems all. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, I'm so grateful that time and time and time again in my life that you have taken my choices and you have fixed them for me in a way that helps me grow. You don't take my consequences away. You still help me learn and become a better person in you for it. And I just thank you for that. And I hope that I never stop growing and becoming better in you. as we become a deeper understanding of your church, I just ask that you help us bring this message of redemption to others. We have the privilege of being open about our faith here in America. Allow us to live into that and embrace that gift and share that beautiful message with someone in our life. We pray these things to your glory and honor, Father. Amen. Would you stand in